If I can just have your attention for about a half hour. Just settle in. I know the tendency is going to be think about what's next. Tonight we got this. Tomorrow morning I still have to make the... Just hold on for a half hour. And let's open up the Word of God and see what it says. Luke chapter 1 tonight. Driving across town, going to see my dad today, right on 531, but I don't know if you saw it, but we were driving on 531, 65 miles an hour, right in the middle of 531 was a giant tote. Did you see the tote? Maybe it came out of your truck. Yeah, the black one. And so it was in my lane, so that's what I felt like life was like. Driving 70 miles an hour constantly, you know, or 65 because that's the speed limit. And you're driving right down that, and all of a sudden there's something sitting in the middle. It's like, I can't get around that. And thankfully we did. The person, about three or four people ahead of us, went around and showed us. But, you know, sometimes in life we're just going so quick, and something shows up, and man, it'll undo a lot of things. Luke chapter 1. Going to read a number of just portions of Scripture and draw something. I have a point in it all, so if you could follow along and then maybe at the end see yourself somewhere in the passage. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." All our life we've grown up with these stories. We tell them all the time. But as you read through this, maybe something stands out that hasn't in the past. Maybe it's just a reminder. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." You can imagine what she was looking at and what was happening. She was, as the Bible says, afraid. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She has some questions. And rightfully so. I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the message. But how could I be expecting? "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall be overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Powerful words. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary, look at verse 38, such an important verse. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," talking of herself. And what she just did there, she was just told that she's going to bring forth the Messiah, the king that's going to take and sit upon the throne of David. And she says, she calls herself this lowly term, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." She doesn't call herself a queen. She doesn't call herself a princess. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." When she first heard the announcement, she had some questions. After confirming these things, she says this phrase, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Here I see a woman that believed something unbelievable. What was required for Mary was simple faith, but an extraordinary amount of simple faith. What we're going to see is a series in this whole passage. It is just unbelievable what these people are witnessing, partaking in, yet in the unbelievable, God only asks one thing. You just believe what I told you. Just believe what I just said. And she responds, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She says, in her mind, if we could make it as simple as possible, "I don't know how that's all going to work. I just believe what you tell me." What do we see? We see a woman that had unbelievable faith in an unbelievable circumstance. By verse 46, look at what happens. Same chapter, verse 46. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Oh, that's good. If you have any background in religion, Mary needed a Savior. Verse 48, "And he hath regarded the low estate of this of his handmaid." Again, not taking any credit for herself. We see humility perfectly mingled with faith. Believing. After I read this passage over again, and you know, this time of year I take this all out and I pray over and I read all the passages dealing with the birth. And I look at it and I look at and I examine every word. That handmaid stood out to me. But here, after I read this, I took away this thought. Mary truly did believe what was told unto her. She glorified God and said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." She believed it. An unbelievable story. But she believed it. When that child was born, she knows what happened with her. And when that child came out, wow, it really was exactly what God said. You know, someday our faith is going to become sight. I didn't see him die on the cross, and we're going to refer to this again. I didn't see him die on the cross, but someday, like Mary, when she held that child, someday we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, do you believe those words? As we continue in the story, here the child is born, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Jesus is born in the city of Bethlehem in verse 8. "And when he was born, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." We have the benefit of ambient light. You know what that means, ambient light? That's like a light that is not direct, but you get the residual effect. So if you went out at night and you looked out on the horizon, you could see where Brockport is. You could look out, you can kind of see where Hilton is. The one traffic light in Hamlin you might be able to see. You can pick up these ambient lights. There was no ambient light there. Their shepherds are abiding in a field at night. When it was night, it was dark. We just built a room upstairs at our house, so we're in the process. When you turn the lights off upstairs, it is dark. Could you imagine out of nowhere a light shines down? And he says pretty much the same thing. The angel announces pretty much the same thing he says to Mary. His first words are, "Fear not." Why? Because you're in the middle of a field at night, and a person or an angelic being shows up with a lot of light. I don't care how big of a man you are, you're afraid. I don't care how many lions you killed with your little staff or your little bears or all that kind of stuff. When spiritual beings cross over into the physical, that's scary. And sure enough, and the angel said unto them, verse 10, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Quite the announcement. Quite the circumstance, if you ask me. Unbelievable circumstance. And the shepherds are kind of now left to themselves. What are you going to do with this information? They immediately move. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They're shepherds in the field. It's night. Light comes down. An angel comes down. The angelic host praises God in unison, perfect harmony, glory to God, an unbelievable thing. And they're like, what do we do with this information? Well, let's go see. Let's go see what it's like. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, look at this now, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. As I read this passage, I came away with the same conclusion of Mary. They believed what they just saw. Say, why? I don't know. If I told you last night I was camping out in my backyard and out of nowhere, it was all dark, an angel came, and then the entire host of heaven, and they declared this, and they said, "There's this baby," and I went and I saw a baby, and there was a baby. You'd say, exactly, I'm out of control. You're crazy. But these guys take this information and they go back. They don't go and they say, "Hey, listen, little sheep, I have something to tell you." They go tell real people. Why? Because they believed what they just saw. They heard the words, believed, and then there was an action. An announcement was made to them. Much like tonight. An announcement. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been born and paid for your sins, died on a cruel cross, and the opportunity for forgiveness is available. Do you believe? There wasn't just Mary. There wasn't just the shepherds that were asked to believe an unbelievable thing. Look at Matthew chapter 2. We find our wise men. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east." Say, those are the shepherds. Those are not the shepherds. "These were wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" It is estimated that the amount of travel time for a king in the east to see a star and then get to Jerusalem would take approximately 2 years. That is a long trip for a king to make. And the king walks into Herod's temple, Herod's throne, and they say, "Hey, where's king of the Jews?" And he says, "I'm Herod." "No, no, the king of the Jews." Herod is concerned, as you can imagine. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was, the Bible says, troubled. Again, sometimes the Lord downplays some things. and all Jerusalem with him. All of a sudden, an entourage of kingly figures show up in Jerusalem looking for a little child. We have children. I love the Christmas Eve service. We have little children in here. Little kids sitting out there. I see Liz's kids. I see some little kids in here. Ava sitting in the back. Imagine if a king from the east all of a sudden shows up at your house tomorrow. We're here to see. Unbelievable. Again, when I read this passage, they were given information. In verse 9, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I've never stood before a king. I've never had the privilege of seeing a kingly throne. I've seen some pictures of the Queen of England and what she looks like with her crown, sitting on her throne and all her special outfits and her little dogs and all that kind of stuff. Seen it. Could you imagine a king, not just one king, wise men from the east traveling? Possibly a couple years in a trip. And they come in and they see this little child, a two-year-old. I'm not sure if you've seen two-year-olds before. They're busy. Very busy. And these men fall down and worship him. They were given an announcement. And as I read through this, you know what I think? Like Mary and the shepherds, they truly did believe by what they did. They worshiped him. If we fast forward about 30 years, John chapter 1. His cousin, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the one that preceded him by 6 months. Remember Zacharias, his dad? That was an interesting story, right? Similar to Mary, he comes to John the Baptist's dad and says, hey, you're going to have a kid. And he says, I'm past the age of children. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. What did you say? Oh, you're not going to say anything. You can't say what I just told you. But sure enough, John was born. And in John chapter 1, how many of you have a cousin? Anybody have a cousin that's close in age? Those cousins that are close in age end up becoming, or have the potential to become, very close friends. Why? Because there's usually a sibling that's linked, and then those cousins are linked. So, my sister and I, we have, I have a daughter and or two daughters, and my sister and brother-in-law have two daughters that are approximately just about the same age, and they are very close, literally, like just a few miles apart, but age-wise and everything, and they spend a lot of time together. John the Baptist and Jesus were that close. And when Jesus shows up, here come, and what does John the Baptist say? In John 1:29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was given some information. And you know what? After I read the book of John and John chapter 1, know what I come away with? Like Mary and the shepherds and the wise men. John truly did believe that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the one that was going to take away the sin of the world. I love the wording of the scriptures. I love our King James Bible. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the, it doesn't say sins. It says sin as in the entity of it altogether. Not our individual sins, but sin itself. And John believed that. John believed what he was told. And he proclaimed it. The shepherds believed that night when the angelic host was singing praises in the light, and they went and told everybody. The wise men from the east, as they traveled, possibly a couple-year trip, the expenses, the inconvenience to see that little child. And there they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, the most valuable of possessions, in a simple, humble home. Why? Because they truly believed. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Luke chapter 23. Say, surely to have any sort of interaction, these are all unbelievable miracles, unbelievable stories, to see these things, how could you not, to be around Christ, how could you not believe? Well, do you know, not everybody that was around Jesus believed. There was a group, Luke chapter 23, as we look in verse... actually, go to Luke chapter 22 and 63. Luke 22, 63. There was a group of soldiers that were responsible in verse chapter 22 and verse 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And the other and many other things blasphemously spake they against him. I read this passage and I conclude this. They didn't believe. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Savior. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't believe He deserved worship. They didn't believe He deserved gifts. They didn't deserve, He didn't deserve anything but a punch in the face. They didn't believe in Jesus. If we turn over in chapter 23 and verse 36, it says, and the soldiers also mocked Him. Mocked Him. They mocked Him. They railed on Him. They belittled Him with their words. And they were violent with their actions. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that the soldiers were the ones that put the crown of thorns upon His head and then took a reed and they pretended to bow down to Him. But it was just a game to them. Because if truly they believed, or there was any inclination that the man that stood before Him them was the Son of God, they never would have done that. They mocked, they bowed down. Oh, King of the Jews! They put a reed in His hand. Then they took the reed and they smote His head with the crown of thorns upon. These were the men that were responsible for taking the body of Christ and nailing Him to the cross. They didn't believe. They didn't believe who He was. They didn't believe His message. They thought he was a joke, a farce. The miracles that he had done were some sort of magic trick. They were blasphemous against him. I believe that they said things that you couldn't even put in the scriptures. It would be so vile. Matthew chapter 27. These were the men that were physically responsible for nailing him to the cross. Now we know who they're dealing with. This is Jesus Christ, who the Bible says all power is given unto in heaven and earth. And they might have thought for a moment they were in charge. We have 5 children, and every now and then our children think for a moment they're in charge. And we have to remind them. No, this is our house, this is how we... In Matthew chapter 27, in verse 54, now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching... Jesus, Matthew 27:54. Centurion, here's the soldiers. These are the soldiers that smote him. These are the soldiers that physically beat him, verbally mocked him, did not believe. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. These were the ones that placed the crown of thorns on his head, hit him with a reed, played the game around his clothing, mocked his name. When he died, and the earth did quake, and the veil of the temple was torn, and they're looking around, and it's all dark in the middle of the day. To say it lightly, their heart dropped. We have made a terrible mistake. Truly, this was the Son of God. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 24, it says this, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And that was our message here tonight. Mary believed an unbelievable story. Virgins don't conceive. The shepherds believed in the midst of a very strange circumstance. The wise men believed. John the Baptist believed. The soldiers did not until the end. Almost too late. We don't follow the centurion anymore. We don't know how it goes. We don't know if he repents. Say, could he repent of his sin? Yes, he could have. Say, that's my plan. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live my life how I want. And when I get to heaven, I will repent then. By then, it will be too late. You have an opportunity tonight. Do you believe? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, talking of Jesus, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day, we will all bow before Him. The question tonight is, do you believe? See, that's a... Preacher, I know what you're trying to do here, and I understand it. It's Christmas time, and you're kind of entitled to talk about that, and I understand that. That's your thing, but that's just not my thing. It has to be your thing. It is the most important message you will ever hear. We are sinners. We all are sinners. Mary was a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's holiness is here. And even at our very best, we'll never reach the holiness and the glory of God. We need His Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us of our sins. Say, what do I got to do? Admit you're a sinner. Ask Him to forgive you. And believe. Say, it's that simple. How much faith do I need? Just a little. Just a bit. Mary was, are you sure about all this? He says, truly. And she says, all right, I'm going to take you at your word. What about the shepherds? What about the wise men? John the Baptist. See, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Because the penalty of sin is hell. That's a real place. And without Jesus Christ, that's where you'll go. But, and here's the most beautiful thing ever, God sent Jesus Christ as a gift to you. At home, maybe you have a little tree. Or maybe you don't have a tree. Maybe you just have a corner with some gifts in it. Maybe on a table or something. Say, yeah, why do we give gifts? That's a great question. Because someone gave us a gift. It's just an example. God loved me, so He gave me Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given. So there's loved ones in our life at this time of year. We express our love for them by giving them a little something. But the most important thing is the gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, not of works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You could not earn your way to heaven if you tried. It's simply a gift. The greatest gift ever given. So, do you believe tonight? Mary just needed a little bit of faith. The shepherds proclaimed the Savior. The wise men worshiped Him. Truly, this was the Son of God. While we're seated in our seat, I'm just going to ask you a question. If you could just bow your head, nobody looking around. I'm not going to have you come forward. This is just between you and me, just so I know how to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that if you were to die today, you do not know where you will spend eternity. Nobody's looking around. It's just you and me. Could you just, if you say this, say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Could you just pray for me? I would like to know, but I'm a little nervous. Could you do this? You don't have to lift your hand up. You don't have to. Just look at me. You say, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I have no idea. If I were to die today, I have some doubts. I have some questions. Can you just look at me just so I can pray for you? Nobody looking around. Pray for me. All right, Christian, for everybody else, when they believed, it prompted an action. The shepherds proclaimed. The wise men moved. John the Baptist changed his life, became a preacher. Sacrifice. What does Jesus mean to you? What does Jesus mean to you? Who is Christ to you? You can look up. This is the most important day. I know Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th. I understand that. But that's just the day that we stop our calendar and say, this is the day we're going to celebrate it. And I'm good with that. If you got the date, great. You use that date. Don't expect a gift on that date. I use December 25th. And sometimes we do the 24th, and you know how that like Christmas week goes. But if I could encourage you with this, don't let the hustle and bustle of all of this detract from what really happened. The incredible amount of faith, the unbelievable story, and peace and joy that was expressed and love that was given that day to which we celebrate.